GAA on Off the Ball.
Now, we're delighted to have him in studio. Aaron Galan is with us. He was in Croke Park this morning to launch the 2019 John West National Fela and to announce that John West will renew its sponsorship of the National Fela for a further 4 years, right through until 2022. Aaron, thanks a million for coming in.
No matter.
You've been flogged today, I suppose.
Kept busy now, yeah. I got the bus up there this morning at 5 o'clock, so my eyelids are barely staying open.
I can imagine. You're going to laugh because I asked you just before we came on, what's the thrust, what people are asking you about? And the first thing I jotted down in my notes that I was going to put to you was the first thing you said, Limerick are going too well. You're going too well. That's been put to you today a few times.
Best word on the street, isn't it?
Yeah. I saw John Kiely asked about that after the league final. It was just a great answer because there was real wisdom in the simplicity of what he said. He said, look, you're either at it or you're not. Mm. End of. I thought it was a great way of putting it.
Yeah, it's simple. Look, same as anything you do in life, doesn't have to be hurling or sport. There's always things you can improve on. And I think, you know, from my point of view, that's the great thing about hurling. Like, you could train, have a really good training session, but there's always three or four things that you have to pick up on and improve on for next season. It's the same as a match. So it's brilliant. Just keep improving and keep getting better.
It was obviously an amazing thing when Limerick won the All-Ireland last year. When did you park the celebrations in your head? When did you start to feel hungry again and think, I need to go out and train and work hard and get going again?
The minute we were back training with Limerick again, because John brought in a few new fellas, likes of Conor Boyle and Aaron Costello, all them, and these boys, they're really pushing not just to be kept in the 36-man panel, but they're pushing for a starting jersey. It's great. There's great competition in the panel, and I suppose it kind of keeps everyone on their toes and no one's kind of resting on their laurels, like saying, oh, I was part of this team last year, I'm automatically playing.
Cause I've made it.
If you're thinking that way, the unfortunate thing is you'll be watching the next match on the sideline, so everyone has to keep working hard.
You're busy at the moment. There's county, obviously, ongoing. There's club. I think you were playing at the weekend. There's Fitzgibbon as well. You're 23?
22, not that
22.
Old
22. Yeah, don't put years on me. Are you getting enough rest?
I am, yeah. Look, the way things have kind of gone these days, everything has been monitored perfectly. And
how is it monitored?
Jeez, I don't know. It's very science-y now for me, but Joe O'Connor is the man with the plan behind all that, so I just do what he tells me, and things are going well so far, so I'm going to keep listening to him.
So would he have GPS on you and monitor
what you're covering? Oh, yeah, he'd have the GPS tracker, and we had him there at playing one of the club matches as well, just to kind of get a reading on what we're doing. So I know Joe keeps a close eye on us now, so his mind is like we're his little babies.
Is that right, yeah? So would he ever say, well, look, you're in the red zone, they sometimes call it now, don't do much of training tonight, or maybe just sit out training? Is that happening, or is it that extreme?
I know, Joe would be monitoring everyone very, very carefully. So if he thinks, say, go back a few weeks and you're playing Fitzgibbon Cup, say if you're playing on maybe a Wednesday and you're training with Limerick on the Thursday, Joe would monitor what you have to do, so you're not going to be flogged to death. So sure, both teams want to get the best out of you, and Joe is just making sure that that's happening. So I can't compliment him enough on that behalf, anyway.
And how hands-on is someone like Joe with, say, your diet?
To be fair, he's fairly easy going. I think you're at a standard now. You're playing intercounty hurling. You either want to look after yourself properly and get the best out of your body, or you don't. So if you look after yourself, your body will reap the rewards and your performance level will go higher. But if you're going to be fooling around and out a couple of nights during the week and eating bad food, you're easily going to be showing up, so it didn't work there, really.
How strict are you with yourself when it comes to something like diet?
I like to think that I'm good enough.
Yeah. Give us a standard day.
Oh, Jesus, you have to ask my mother, she does all the cooking. I'd say about a year ago, Joe gave us this cooking booklet about maybe 40 or 50 different recipes, but he sent it on an email, but I just printed it off and gave it to my mother. But she's delighted herself now making new fancy foods at home the whole time. So,
are you still living at home?
Yeah, I'll be there for another few years, I'll tell you that.
Will you? You're still in Mary Eye, are you?
Just finished fourth, so I've exams in 2 weeks.
Right. What are you studying?
I'm doing arts, so at the moment now I'll have nothing to go into next year, so I'm going to do the Hibernia course, do primary teaching.
That's man. Yeah. What art subjects are you doing?
English and religion.
English and religion?
Yeah.
Why religion?
I did it in first year. I found it fairly interesting, and we had a very good lecturer as well, Father Wall, and just nice fella, very easy to get on with. And I just found it very interesting, so I stuck it on, and I actually liked it now for the last few years too.
I presume that covers all religions, or is it very much Catholic based?
You go through everything, so you kind of get a viewpoint of everything. That's why I like it, I think.
And are you religious, strong faith?
I would be religious, yeah. I'd like to go to Mass nearly every Sunday, or when I can, when we're not training, and I know Keane has been put out as, do you see, he might become a priest in years to come. He's seen as very religious altogether, but no, I'd like to be religious. I like the idea of going to Mass and then calling to my nanas after, so it's just a routine that I have every Sunday.
Yeah. Nice to have that time or to have something, whatever the religion is, almost to decompress a little bit.
Yeah, and just kind of switch off. Maybe it's, if Mass only a half an hour, 40 minutes, and even chatting to people after for 20 minutes, just... It's a way of getting out and kind of socialising as well, like meeting people around the village, you know, because they're not really around during the week when you're training that much. So it is nice to let people know that you're still alive anyway.
Any other religions you found interesting over the 4 years?
There's a few of them, like the Muslim one and Islam. They often get a bad name and stuff in the news, but I suppose you kind of delve deeper into their traditions and you see their point of view as well. It's just very interesting.
And so what is the point of view that we don't get when we're hearing about extremism?
Jesus, there's loads of it now. I won't even get started on it.
Here, you have exams in a couple of weeks. I'm trying to help you out here.
I know, I should be studying now here instead of pretending to be talking about it. But no, there's just so much, like, there's hard to pick out. And if I start to talk about something now, I definitely forget something, so I won't even get into it.
Where are you on English?
English in college is not far off what it was in school, to be honest. It's kind of the same. I hope no one's listening to me, but I actually kind of found it very boring now through college.
So did I. I did English in Maynooth, and it put me off reading for about 4 years afterwards.
Yeah, sure. You're expected to read...
Too much?
Yeah.
I was...
It takes a lot of time, right, to go through all the amount of books.
I think it's madness. I think they're trying to cram too much onto a different curriculum. I remember my first week in college, and you know, Leaving Cert, you spend an entire 6 months doing it, one Shakespearean play.
One, yeah.
I vividly remember sitting there realising, and I did finish the course and I got through it and all, but I remember sitting there thinking, this is not for me at all. It was a Thursday and the lecturer came in, first lecture, first week. I thought it was going to be, you know, let's sit around and tell each other our names and hold hands. And he said, right, buy Hamlet and have it read by Monday. I thought, what?
As if you've nothing else to be doing.
We've come from a school where it's like 6 months where you're walked through it. And here we are in first year and it's like, buy Hamlet, read it. And I just found, you were already behind. And I just found there's too much to read. I was on Spark Notes all the time.
You say, geez, I hope none of my lecturers are listening to me.
Well, you know, maybe it's, well, you're allowed to say it now. Yeah. But when everyone's in Spark Notes, that I find that's actually a problem with English in college. They're asking you to read an unrealistic amount. Yeah. Some of the books are also pretty boring.
There's Spark Notes, and then there's one of my friends as well, his name is Sparky. He does religion and English too, so geez, I'd say he nearly knows as much as the lecturers, so he was Spark Notes and Sparky, so.
Yeah. I remember studying for exams and just being so bored. I think it was Middlemarch. Just like, this is going on forever. And seeing The Great Gatsby, which wasn't on the course, and thinking, that's what I want to read. And I just read that instead. So, have you enjoyed it? All that said, all our complaining aside?
I have enjoyed college.
Aside from the hurling?
I have, yeah, sure. We've made great friends in there, like, and it's kind of sad in a way that it's all coming to an end now. But I suppose we've kind of formed a nice, tight-knit group of friends, and there's going to be five or six of us doing Hibernia next year, so at least that's not the end of the road for us. We'll stay in touch anyway.
And why teaching?
I don't know, a lot of people say, geez, you're just going teaching now to suit the hurling and suit the training, but...
That was my worry for you, to be honest.
No, since I came out of sixth class, I'd say I was just mad to be a primary school teacher, and...
Really?
Yeah, so I've stood by my guns now, and I'm going to go all out for it.
Why do you think you like it?
I don't know, my mother's a childminder, and... She could have 7 or 8 children there in the house during the day, and I'd get on fairly well with them. She actually minds Tom Condon's young fella too, so I'd be messing around with him there during the week. But no, I seem to get on with him, and people think that I'm good with children too. And even in camps and stuff, you know, I find it easy to kind of get along with them and try and get the best out of them. So hopefully it'll work out anyway.
Yeah, it sounds like it will. Did you think about secondary?
I thought about secondary, yeah, and...
Imagine having to teach a 15-year-old Keen Lynch.
I know.
What I mean? It'd be a nightmare.
I was actually going to go to NUIG next year.
Right.
I had accepted the course and all, and a few minutes later I said, no, Jesus, I'd pull out of it again, so...
What caused the...
I don't know, to be honest. It was just kind of maybe a quick fix, just to, like, Gala was there, it was easy, it was there if you just go and do it, whereas... There might be a small bit more work in Hibernia, but like Nicky Quaid did Hibernia too, and he was like, I was like, geez, you should pay a fee there, or whatever it was, and I was like, after losing out on that now, and he's like, you're better out losing out on that few quid than losing out in 2 years, but I'm Galway doing something you don't want to do, so makes sense at the end of the day.
And are we hiring teachers? Will it be easy enough to get a job as a primary school?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Or else I'm going down the wrong line altogether.
Yeah, it probably helps being inter-county hurler, though you can't say that on the record. So, look, what an amazing month on the hurling front. You're being talked about as the hurler of the league, the best hurler in the country at the moment. Does that kind of talk almost leave you a little bit uncomfortable, or are you happy enough to embrace it and say, look, I know I'm one of the best, fair enough, I'll get on with it? Where are you on that tag which has been thrown around over the last few months?
I wouldn't be paying any attention to that. And
were you aware people were saying it?
Not really, no. No, I wouldn't pay any attention to it. You might see a few things, but you just scroll through them. But I was asked a question there at the failure thing this morning, and someone said, how do you stay so level-headed? And I was like, geez, if I went home thinking I was great or had a big head, I wouldn't be long, and my mother wouldn't be long bringing me back down to earth. So, no, and even in around Limerick, the old fellas like Tom Condon, Richie McCarthy, Declan, they just have great experience, and they're not going to leave you get carried away. At the end of the day, we've only won one big thing, We're all so young now as well, we have to go ahead and try and back it up,
It's great to see you do it, because it would be such a pity if this brilliant team and so many great characters won their All-Ireland and then allowed it to slip away.
Yeah.
It's great that you get a real sense that, one, you enjoy it, and that's almost the driving force, but two, you won one and you were like, this is fun, let's try and win more. Some teams are satisfied to win one. I don't get that impression with Limerick.
No, and obviously, look, it was great to get over the line at the time, but I think in the team, I think one thing that kind of helps is we all have the same ambition. It was obviously a big thing to tick that off the list at start, but geez, we're all kind of youngish, and if you're lucky enough, you might get to represent Limerick for 9, 10 or 11 years like some of the lads have. So when you have the group that we have at the moment, you kind of want to be making hay when the sun shines,
Exactly, it'll go by quickly.
Yeah, you want to be making the most of it.
Can I ask about your goal in the league final? Jimmy Barry Murphy, 1983, it's been like...
I don't know much about it now, to be honest, but...
That's almost the genius of it.
Yeah.
So, can you remember it?
I can remember it, yeah. It's just...
So you can see...
All of it was just so strange, usually...
Actually, I have the commentary. Do you mind if I play the commentary?
It'll work, well,
yeah. Yeah, go on, okay. It's so quick, the commentary misses. Yeah, this is live 95.
Okay.
That'll tell you how quick this is moving. The ball came in from Kyle Hayes, and it's just a one-handed flick. That's incredible. I mean... That's how fast this game is. That's how fast Limerick are. It's now Limerick 1-9. Waterford 8 points. An incredible piece of skill from Aaron Gallant. Caught everyone, including myself, off guard.
So they missed it, is almost the funny part. Was it Noel Connors on you?
Yeah.
You can see your teammate in the distance is shaping up to hit a ball towards you. Give us what's going on inside your head.
Tom, to be fair to him, was always good to give in a good ball. I don't know, was he trying to hit it in high or was he trying to hit it out to the corner? I don't know, it was just so unusual how it all happened. He drilled the ball, I was like, geez, what's he doing? And the second unusual bit of that was, Noel Connors, one of the best defenders in Ireland, and he has been for the last 9 or 10 years.
Brilliant.
He's never going to miss a ball like that again. It was just pure luck that he did miss it. And
sorry to interrupt you, because I remember talking to Tommy Welch here on the Monday night about it, and Tommy said one of the interesting things was he felt you gambled on Noel Connors missing it, because you wouldn't have time to react if Connors gets a touch on it. Is that what was going through your head, or what did you think? I'm going to take a chance that Connors misses this, and I'm just going to watch the flight of the ball and flick it.
To be honest, it all happened so quick I didn't have that much time to think about it. But I think in the clip I was watching it back, I actually went to make a dart to run out the left corner, but then I realised Tom wasn't hitting the ball out there. And the next thing, Noel Connors is out in front of me, and he's a horse of a man. I wasn't going moving him out of the way, and next thing, I don't know, he just missed it, and it was just instinct, it's nothing I've ever practiced before. And I could just go home now and try it 100 times and I wouldn't do it again, it's just one of them once-off things.
Yeah. And were you trying to put it in a certain direction or just help it vaguely towards goal?
Sure, when the ball is coming at that pace, just any little flick at all, and obviously caught Stephen O'Keefe off guard as well, and just thankfully went in.
What was your reaction when it goes in?
I was shocked. I didn't know what was going on, to be honest. I did a few jumps up into the air and an awful fool of myself, but no, just kind of ecstatic, and came at an important time in the matches that I think we were only 9-8 up, so it helped us, and I think we kind of kicked on from there.
Yeah, it was an amazing moment. Did the All-Ireland final day tally with what you expected it to be?
It's up to that. That depends on the individual. You can build it up to be as much as you want. But
you personally, what did you expect it to be in the days leading up to it, and then how did it compare?
Sure, in the days leading up to it, like, you try not to think about it. It's kind of when you're a young fella there, 14 or 15, you're thinking about playing in an All-Ireland final, and this is when you have, that's when you have these images in your head of all these great days, but you can't afford to do that, you know, when you're lucky enough to be in the position to actually be lining out in the final. You can't afford to be dreaming of all these unreal images. You just have to go out and focus on the job you have to do.
And did you find that easy to do that?
I did know. We were well driven going out in the field, so it's just like, you have it in your head, what's your role, and do that to the best of your ability. Like, you're not doing it for yourself, you're doing it for the 14 boys that are on the field with you and the rest of the 36-man panel that are sitting on the sideline.
Is it right that your mum came up to cook you eggs and bacon in the morning?
No, what happened was, there's usually, you know, the Mini Sevens competition was on the Saturday before the All-Ireland, so my mother, father and Jason Sarah, my brother and sister, they came up the day before because Partick were playing the Mini Sevens. But my father and Jason Sarah, they stayed up the night before. My mother booked the hotel for the four of them. She only told them then that she was going back down home. But I told her to stay away up there, like, it's made out that I made her come down.
To cook your breakfast.
Yeah, but no, she's the one now, she'd be kind of superstitious. She'd be making my breakfast all along we were winning, so she said if she didn't make it, that something would go wrong. So she flew back down the Maltra, made the breakfast and back up again.
Brilliant. What are the celebrations like? It seemed like an incredible couple of days. I remember we were talking to Shane Dowling, and I think he was in a funeral home doing it to us because you were in the pub next door. It was literally the only quiet place.
Richard McCarthy's home, Blackrock.
In Limerick.
Yeah, they were great.
Look, it just seemed magic.
There are memories that you'll treasure forever, like, you know, and like, looking back at them now, you still won't really appreciate it. It's when you're retired there in a few years and you're looking back at, geez, these are the golden days. But no, unfortunately, no, that's all parked for another while, sorry. And we'll see where this year takes us.
Is it right that you were big into soccer as well growing up?
I played a bit, all right, yeah.
But was it a contender to be your main sport over hurling?
I would have played at a serious enough level, all right, but...
Like, what are we talking?
I would have played at Partick Swell, then I would have went to Mungret, which would have been a strong enough team, and then there's the play, I think it's called the Umbro Cup, I don't know if it's still going on, I played with Herbertstown, who would have been a decent soccer team at the time. I was only 13 or 14, I think it was an under 16 or 17 storm, which you go away for the weekend and play it, but no, once I came back for that, like, I knew, geez, I wasn't that good at soccer that I would keep it up till I wouldn't keep it going. Like, hurling was always going to be my first sport, and I'm happy that I have chosen it. But after the final last year, we lost the semi-final at Partick Swell by a point, so you're kind of laying idle there for a few weeks doing nothing. So a few of us went back playing soccer with St. Pat's there in Partick Swell.
Great
crack altogether. Didn't get to play three matches, yeah. Never started though, I always came on at half time, so said a manager had something against me.
What position are you in soccer?
I come on up front, but sure, I'm useless, like, I couldn't score for my life.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a few of us now, myself, Kevin O'Brien would be another hurler from Parkersville, Mark Carmody, Shawnee O'Brien, there was a few of us now, so it was a good old crack now as well.
Because I was reading, I think it was on joe.ie, there was a piece about how Kieran Kerry came to your house and convinced you to play hurling, and it seems like maybe you'd
I know, geez, now he didn't call and convince me to play hurling at all. He's just, like, he'd be good old friends of my father, so he'd be calling anyway, and sure, Kieran could say anything to you, and you'd be in awe, just listen to him.
Yeah.
You still would be to this day, like, and...
But in the piece as well, there was some quotes from Jamie Wall. Obviously, people know Jamie, coaching at Mary Eye, and he was remembering early on in your college career, before a Fitzgibbon game in Carlow, this was in that Joe.ie piece, he was having to say to you, you're as good as Keane Lynch, we believe in you. And what he said was, I don't think that Aaron knew how good he was. Do you feel you had a confidence issue or a lack of belief, or were you unsure of where you stood in the game?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would have always liked to think that I was fairly handy, but... Okay.
Like, thought you, I will play county, senior county for Limerick. You felt that all along?
I would have liked to think so.
Yeah.
Not too sure how certain I was of it, but I would have liked to think so. But even today, like, I don't get, like, how anyone can compare someone to Keane Lynch, like, in my opinion. Like, he's just streaks ahead of anybody that plays. Like, I've been playing with him since under sixes, like, we're the two only same age people in Partick Swell the whole way up along, like, And this isn't a lie, like, I've never seen the man play a bad game, so, like, if that's not Mr. Consistency, I don't know what it is. And he is the best hurler in Ireland at the moment, and he will be for the next few years too. Mm.
You really blossomed in Fitzgibbon, and then this has all happened so quickly, you know, senior debut 2017, and suddenly here we are. You've a national league title in the can, you've an All-Ireland in the can. The other thing I just wanted to ask you about was your free taking.
Yeah.
So, like, how regimented are you about that? Do you have a process and it's all nailed down, or are you more of a field player and have different, you know, you might go about it in a different way each time?
I used to just, when I was playing 21s now, I used to just throw the ball down and, like, just run up behind it and hit it and hopefully go over. But after my last year 21s, when I came to the senior panel, the Pearshig were in the All-Ireland Club final, so they weren't around, so I ended up taking frees with the seniors throughout the league. Mm. And I ended up doing a bit of work with Paul Kinnock, and he was like, you need to have a routine for your frees. And I was like, sure, I'm hitting them grand the way they are. And he's like, no, you need to have a routine. And
for when the pressure comes on.
Yeah, and it makes very good sense. Like, he's like, if you're playing an All-Ireland final and you're a point down and you have a last minute free to draw the game, you know, geez, you don't want to have that running through your head thinking about, oh, what if I miss it? Whereas his opinion is, have a routine, whereas you can be thinking about the steps to your routine, and you know, kind of takes your mind off the pressure as well, and
you're in the moment with it.
Yeah.
So, what's your routine? Do you mind taking us in? Because it'll be, you know, I want to watch you in an All-Ireland final hopefully this year and watch you hit a free, so I want to know what's going on in your head.
It's fairly simple now from watching that. Yeah, I just...
How many steps back?
I take one step back, face down between my legs.
Yeah.
I'd bend down a bit, bend my knees, bend down, have a look at the goals, then kind of crouch out to the side of it, have a look again, then just kind of rise it forward and try and strike through it.
And when you're looking again at the goal, are you trying to pick the flight of the ball out? Are you picking a spot behind the goal, or are you just...
Yeah, you kind of pick a spot behind the goal. There's always something that will catch right behind the goal, and I think the most important thing is just to strike through the ball, and once you're getting clear connection, I like to think that the rest will look after itself.
Yeah. Do you feel pressure when you do it?
I don't think so, no. Because I know, like, there's a great backup behind me. Like, I know, like, Tom Morrissey is well able to hit frees. Peter Casey, Dowling, if he's on the field, he's well able to hit him. So there is plenty of people that can take him. So
okay. That's interesting. It's a good way of looking at it. Because other people could look at it as in, oh, my God, there's all these other people who can do it. If I'm not doing it well, it'll be taken off me.
But that's, I know, sure, it's a team effort at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Listen, it's great to have you in. Continued success. Hope the year goes well. I think you're on the train to get back for training this evening.
Yeah, can't wait.
Best of luck with the championship. It's going to be busy. Kicks off May...
19th.
Limerick against Cork, Gaelic grounds. And then you're away to Waterford. And then you've Clare. And then you're away to Tipperary, Semple Stadium. Jeez, Munster is ridiculous.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. We have it no other way.
Yeah, absolutely. Aaron Glan, thanks a mil.
Thanks a million. GAA on Off the Ball.